The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This week on Dueling Review, it is Moon Knight number one for Marvel Comics.
I am Moon Knight.
The mysterious Mr. Knight has opened his midnight mission, his people petitioning for protection from the weird and horrible. The Moon Knight stalks the rooftops and alleys marked with his crescent moon tag, bringing violence to any who harm his people. Mark Spector, in whichever guise he dons, is back on the streets, a renegade priest of an unholy god. But when Khonshu, Khonshu, languishes in prison that Moon Knight put him in, Moon Knight must still observe his duty, protecting those who travel at night. Let it be known, Moon Knight will keep the faith. I know, I'll be honest, I know nothing of Moon Knight except for the following, Matthew. He feels like a Batman knockoff, and everyone says he has, what, schizophrenia or multiple personality disorder? That's the only thing I know about Moon Knight.
Dissociative identity disorder, I believe.
Is that what it's called now? Okay.
Yeah, DID.
Okay.
That is the basics. Yeah. I mean, he was specifically created by Doug Munch. And of course, you remember Doug Munch from writing a bunch of Batman.
Yeah.
And I think he was specifically created to be sort of a Batman type. He first appeared in the pages of Werewolf by Night, of all places, trying to kill the werewolf.
Oh,
so
by night.
This issue feels like kind of a back to basics moment.
Yeah, I'll say, because I do like that. It's like Moon Knight is like, this is my city. I have marked my territory. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Batman, go for it. Go for it, Batman. And then all of a sudden it's like, and I kill vampires and werewolves and rat people. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm totally in for all of this stuff. And then it goes into some weird territory where it's like, OK, now let's talk about your DID. Let's talk about your dissociative identity disorder. Yep. And now let's spend some time really you walking around with your mask on the entire time and never taking it off. And yet everyone knows your name. And then let's spend some weird time talking about a doctor and how the Moon Knight is the right hand of doom and this guy is the left hand of doom. And
yes.
It's just like, okay, this went in a direction I didn't expect it to.
Well, Moon Knight's whole thing has always had kind of an Egyptian undertone to it. It's had these strange quasi-religious and in this issue now openly religious overtones where in his first appearance, he was this mercenary. He was killed and resurrected. In the initial story, it was left very ambiguous. But since then, they have come out and said, yes, Mark Spector was dead. Khonshu brought him back to life in order to make him his, you know, his enforcer, his fist of Khonshu.
Yeah. So that's the weird part, because the doctor's like, look, we've done brain scans. You've had contact with a god and your brain is like totally changed. Okay, so why why are they giving him hassle about hearing voices and having multiple personalities and these kinds of things when they know that he's been messed with a literal god? That's the part that is a real disconnect with me, and really a lot in comic books, because yes, believe in God if you want, that's fine in your comic books. And if your characters right. are religious, that's fine too. I don't have a problem with that. But then everyone around you has this belief in superpowered beings, whether they be Spider-Man's or Iron Man's or Hulk-Man's. People have no problem believing any of that stuff. But the minute in this universe you say, oh, yes, I was touched by a god, people are like, you're a wackadoo. This guy, check him out. He's crazy. And it's like, no, why would there be such a disconnect if you have people that are literally coming from the stars and coming down to you? Why would a religious encounter trigger people wrong? Which is the reason why over on DC Comics, I always thought Zuriel was a weird character, because they seem to make a very strong point in DC Comics. Not always. I mean, there's always allusions and allegories, but to keep religion out of comics, and then you literally introduce an angel
an actual,
into the series. Sure. And it's just like, well, that was really weird. So that's where I kind of have the disconnect with Moon Knight.
It can be difficult. And I feel like, you know, the Spectre and Zauriel and characters that are, you know, specifically and explicitly about live religions or active religions.
Right.
Really do, to me, always feel just a little bit creepy and kind of disrespectful, you know? And this story kind of touches on the fact Mark Spector or Jake Lockley or Stephen Grant, whoever he is actually under the mask, he has several personalities, was raised Jewish. Mm-hmm. And now he is a priest of this weird cult. And
I mean, why would that's fine. I don't, that's the part that I don't understand. The person who the psychiatrist, I think she's a psychiatrist. She's a doctor or somebody, yes, that the Avengers have hired to investigate his mind. She's like, you worship an Egyptian god, but you're Jewish. And it's like, have you never heard of people converting women? It's just, there's so many things when it comes to the religious part. And believe me, I think listeners know me well enough at this point to know that I am a not religious person, but I know a little bit enough about religion to know that people convert, that if you want to believe in a god, that's fine. Realize that, you know, the Christian god is not the same as the Jewish god or the Hindu god or the Indian god or all these kinds of things. But the things that are coming out of this woman's mouth just don't make any sense whatsoever.
In the context of the Marvel Universe, they absolutely don't. And I think that's the problem that we've got going here, is that in a world where, you know, Moon Knight, part of the reason that Moon Knight is having to meet with this psychoanalyst is because he kind of helped Khonshu take over the world. And during which he beat up Thor. Thor is a literal, you know, god from another dimension.
Exactly. So why would you just dismiss Handwave unless it's racism? Well,
she's not necessarily dismissing it. She's trying to figure it out. But it feels like there's a trope that pops up every once in a while. It's called Reed Richards is useless. No matter how much wacky, crazy stuff Reed Richards invents, it never changes society. Reed Richards, you know, has invented flying devices where everyone could have a flying car,
yes,
but it will never change society.
Right. And that's the problem that I have.
The comics are trying to be relatable. And what we see here is someone trying to use actual real therapy session terminology and actual, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy on a character who was literally kissed by a god and brought back from the dead.
Yeah. So it's like none of this stuff meshes. And that's the problem that I have in a lot of comic books, not just Marvel, but also DC and also any other comic that tries to say, well, yes, we have the real world, but we also have comic books, and the comic books are fantastical. And Reed Richards would never do anything to help other, you know, help out humankind. Reed Richards absolutely would. Reed Richards would absolutely be saying, hey, let's make flying cars. Hey, let's get these Herbie robots in every home in America. And then at which point the Doombots infiltrate. And then you have this, you know, this really interesting story that you could come up with. Same problem that I have with Lex Luthor. If Lex Luthor is such an industrialist and such a sharp mind, why? I mean, we never see in the comics, or at least to my knowledge, I know he does a lot of military contracts, and that's where he gets most of his money. But we never see that stuff trickle down into the home. The new Lex Vision, or, you know, the Lex VR system. We never see any of that stuff, which means it makes, a lot of this stuff makes zero sense.
You have to kind of honestly let that one slide, as far as I'm concerned, because when we talk about these realities, if you look at realities where they've taken those stories to their logical conclusion, they're no longer something that you can actually really say, hey, this is reality and I can immediately understand this. If you look at, you know, Alan Moore's top 10 from America's Best Comics, it said, okay, all of these things coexist. Let's take these to their natural conclusion. And it ended up with this megatropolis that was just as alien as anything we see in Judge Dredd as Asgard itself. And so Marvel specifically, but, you know,
yeah, I know they try to keep it in the real world. Yeah.
Try to keep it in the real world. So we're in a world where literally 6 months ago, frost giants were wandering through the streets of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still having this person trying to use her, you know, degree in psychology to understand Moon Knight.
Yes.
By the way, yeah. I do appreciate the fact that all of the bad guys in this issue are existing bad guys who have kind of a circular theme.
Yeah, this part of the monster
story is filled with circles. The eight ball character who gets beat up, Oddball who gets thrown off a building. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know what they're building towards, but I kind of want to know.
Here's the thing.
I feel like this worked a lot better for me than it did for you.
Oh, no. So here's the thing. How important is it to you that the religious aspect is connected to Moon Knight? Let me ask you that.
Is it
important that this whole
I would rather they center the religion than the mental illness, because the last three or four volumes of Moon Knight have been all about the mental illness. So I would like to see, I'm happy with them centering this imaginary religion if it means that we don't have yet another sort of, you know, rumination on what
multiple
personality disorder could be.
And it's unfortunate because they cram so much of that into this issue, right?
I mean, it's part of the Moon Knight mystique.
I don't have a problem with, you know, Hawkman being of, you know, this Egyptian reincarnation of Ra or whoever he's supposed to be. I don't have a problem with the original Blue Beetle, you know, having this Egyptian scarab that gives him his powers. I don't have any problems with that. I really don't have a problem with Khonshu, you know, giving Moon Knight the powers, right? I don't have a problem with the gods of order and chaos controlling Dr. Fate. I don't have a problem with those aspects, the supernatural aspects, even Dr. Strange. I don't have a problem with the supernatural religious aspects in here. I was really hoping that this issue would have been more, let's stab some werewolves and vampires. and why are all of these supernatural things suddenly converging into Moon Knight territory? And also, yes, Moon Knight might be the right hand of Khonshu, but now the left hand of Khonshu has shown up. That to me is incredibly more interesting than, well, you know, I'm a doctor, and so therefore I must disregard all religion. So therefore, let me question, why are you Jewish and now you worship an Egyptian? He's converted, lady. Knock it off.
But that's all in there. The stuff that you want is in here.
Oh, yeah, it is. And that's the thing. So I really did enjoy this issue. I really liked it a lot, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to see where this goes. But I would say, please remove a lot more of the psychotherapy from, or the psychoanalysis, analytics from this book, because it just, to me, doesn't work. Just let him be. Today he wants to be called Mark Spector. Next week he wants to be called Ted Knight. Let him just go about that, and people.
He's never called Ted Knight.
But he keeps the faith, and he protects those who travel at night. And his last name is Knight, Moon Knight. So maybe he wants to make his first name Ted Knight,
his
and the
name
next name
is not Moon Knight.
And
Moon
then, Knight the, is, and then the next is next month pure, he might be Moonchild. I don't know. I just have a real problem with the illogical nonsense that the doctor is doing in this episode.
It's tough. I mean, they're having to Frankenstein some things, and as with so many Marvel books, you know, we're at the beginning of a new volume, so you kind of have to let them establish what still matters, you know, because this story doesn't necessarily give us any of the traditional, I have five personalities and these are their names and these are their jobs. We do have, you know, him wearing his business suit as Mr. Knight and then his battle suit as the Moon Knight. But does
everyone know that they're the same person?
Everyone knows that Mr. Knight is Moon Knight.
Okay.
Because Mr. Knight is just Moon Knight.
And apparently everybody knows that Mr. Knight is Matt Spector or Mark Spector.
No, not everybody knows that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But the therapist who was sent by the Avengers does, because again, he tried to take over the world. And so he's technically kind of on, you know, probation. But yeah, I don't know. I think that the hardest part of this is going to be trying to match up the real world aspects that they clearly want to address, that they really want to have. You know, they want to have this point of view character kind of looking at it and saying, well, you know, how does this work? How does this not work? But also, you know, putting it together with the Marvel Universe that is just nuts.
I also think it becomes somewhat, yeah, it is. And I think it also becomes somewhat problematic when you try to take Moon Knight, who really is, in my opinion, a street level hero, right? Along the same lines as a Luke Cage or an Iron Fist or something like that. And then you try to elevate him beyond that. That's when it gets really weird. Like, where does Spider-Man fit? To me, Spider-Man feels like a street level hero, not somebody who is battling gods.
Literally travels in time and goes to the moon and battles gods all the time.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't, it just feels a little odd every time Spider-Man does that.
The first time Thanos died, he was punched out by Spider-Man and died and turned to stone. Spider-Man and the Avengers went to space.
Yeah, it just seems odd to me. To me, it just seems odd. So
I don't have a problem with that, because we always have those moments where the X-Men go into space and we have, you know, Superman and Batman hanging out together in World's Finest, and then Batman wandering through Gotham because he can't armor my head. You know, but for me, that's less of a problem than the idea of, hey, we're doing another, you know, Dark Mirror character here. I'm worried about where that's going to go. Because the Huntress Moon character that we are introduced to is another Fist of Khonshu.
And now, that character, this is like the first appearance of the left hand.
As far as I can tell, I'm not familiar with him, Dr. Badr, or Huntress Moon. He may have appeared in previous volumes, because I haven't read a Moon Knight volume since the mashed potato incident of 2007.
Is that where he kept stuffing mashed potatoes down his pants?
No, it's where they wanted to do a cover where he was covered in blood and his fists were like dripping with blood.
Oh,
but Marvel wasn't allowed to put blood on the cover. So they left the cover monochrome. So imagine the texture and the shape of blood smears, but it's white.
Yeah, I think there's a whole channel.
And it looks like he was coated in mashed potatoes. Yeah. Stephen Francis Schleicher.
So here's the thing. Is that the incident that caused, who was it, Mark Miller, to go off and do, what was the one where it was the quote-unquote hero who was also dressed all in white, who goes in and kills the president? What was that series?
Nemesis. I think Nemesis was a little before that.
Oh, okay. All right.
But Nemesis was basically Mark Miller's Batman.
Oh, I thought it was Mark Miller's Moon Knight. That's what I had always had heard.
He also did a book around the same time called Superior that was basically Mark Miller's Superman.
Oh, okay.
And then he did Kick-Ass, which was basically, you know, Mark Miller's Spider-Man.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I like this book. I have problems with it, and there are some things that I would like to see toned down going forward. But I overall liked this book. I thought the art was really pretty to look at times. I thought the writing was very solid, but I just think that some of the actions of the characters were not thought out enough or sat down to the logic engine and said, does this really make sense that this person would make these kinds of questioning remarks? What about you, Matthew? Did you enjoy this?
I did. And I think there are two big reasons. One of them is the standard issue comic nerd reason of, In this issue, we see him wear two costumes. One, the all white three piece suit, which is so cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty
cool. And then we see him in a new version of his traditional battle armor that's got a lot more black along with the silver.
Oh, there is a panel that I absolutely love in this issue. I had to stop and marvel at it for probably a minute. I just literally stopped my reading. There's a panel where Moon Knight, and I don't know who he's talking to. I think it's when he's up on the roof before he kicks 8-Ball off, where he's got his hood up, and so his face is all in shadow, but there are just enough highlights, like glints of light coming off, to where you can still see his outline of his face, and you also get to see the lighter portion of the inside of the cowl, and it's just so well done that under a different kind of inker or a different kind of printing process, this would have just been a smudge of mud that just looked, like a muddy mess, like total darkness. Mm-hmm. And we're just seeing the outside of the hood and this voice speech bubble coming out of it. In this one, you know, just that little attention, just a few white streaks inside that hood lets you see, oh yes, look how they created the shading in here just so that you can see a face that's all in darkness, and you can still see the separation between the face and the inside of the cowl. It was just so good. It was like maybe one of my favorite panels of the year so far.
During the Venom fight, there are some just incredible looks at this new costume. It has more more of the crescent moon effect than we've seen in previous ones. And I want to say it's about page 15 or 16 where they just do the big hero shot of him stepping forward with his cape, and you can see his brass knuckles and the moon things on his shoulders. And he's just like, okay, I'm totally not Batman, you all.
Oh no, it's
you
totally
can test me further. Wah, wah, wah. That's nice. That is very nice.
Wait,
visually,
he fought Venom in this issue? Because I don't remember him fighting Venom. I remember
not
him
Venom,
fighting
Vermin.
Oh, Vermin. Okay, because I thought you said Venom, and I was like, wait,
I might have said Venom.
Did I miss a post-credit sequence?
When you only know the Marvel Universe from the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, as seen in comic books, sometimes Venom comes right before Vermin alphabet.
Ah, okay. Yeah, no, I really dug that. I dug that a lot. I'm trying to find the exact page. So the other question is, why does, I guess if not, I guess if people don't know that Mark Spector is Moon Knight,
right?
They then don't know that, Mr. Knight or whatever his name is Mark Spector. I just, there were things I was like, why is he wearing his mask all the time? Is there something, some reason why he has to wear his mask all of the time?
To my understanding, in the either the last or the version before the last, the Mr. Knight personality came out as another separate personality.
Oh, okay.
Basically, Mr. Knight wears the costume because that's who Mr. Knight is.
Okay.
He's basically the administrative side.
Okay.
But I didn't really read. I want to say that was a Warren Ellis joint.
Okay. So I'm just looking at the. I'm just looking at the electronic copy that Marvel sent us, so I don't have exact page numbers, but it is the one where he is on the rooftop and the doctor is hauling 8-Ball away, and it is that lower left-hand panel where you can just see, I guess it's the rain, the way it's drawn on the panel just makes, you can see the definition of the face and the cowl, and it's just so good.
I'm the Fist of Khonshu.
Yeah,
where you have to ink that whole thing in, and then you get out your little white-out pen, and you,
very it's really good. It's really nice. It sounds like we both like this issue.
Yeah, I think I liked it more than you. I think I liked it
correctly. I'm sure you liked it more than me, but that's not saying that Steven hated it, right? So I would probably give
this... No, Steven hated it. Steven said, I hate it. I heard
it. I would probably give this... 3.5 slices of meatloaf on the meatloaf rating scale. I enjoyed it that much. Obviously you're not getting the full loaf because of those things that I've questioned multiple times in this week's show.
Right.
So there you go.
I would probably go 4 because, you know, again, I enjoy things correctly and everyone else is wrong.
Like a true comic fan. That's a perfect statement from a true comic fan.
Yeah, I like this book. It's a good book. I would recommend it to people, especially if you're like, hey, I like Batman, but I also don't like Batman.
How
did you like something that's not Batman?
We actually had a 4-way tie this week. We had Mom, which I believe is an Image Comics book. We had Moon Knight. We had Blue and Gold. And we had, I wrote everything down by initials, so I can't remember. TFHC, this must be Tales from Haro County, also received the same number of votes.
Either that or the Flying Halimony Camelum.
It could be that, but I'm pretty sure it's Tales from Haro County. The nice thing is we did have a lot of people come in and vote. The problem is we didn't have enough people come in and vote. We need more people. We need you, dear listener, to go and cast your vote to let us know what comics you want us to read. So we ended up with this literally because
you get to pick. You get to decide.
Right. We ended up with Moon Knight because I went into the general chat over on the Major Spoilers Discord server. And I said, hey, you guys, pick a number between 1 and 4. And the only one person responded. And I think they said 2. And I was like, okay, Moon Knight it is. So here's the thing. We need more of you to share your thoughts and votes for the comics that we review on this show. Matthew, how do they go about that?
Well, you send $5 to me, care of general. No, don't do that. You don't have to spend $5 like that. What you do is you go to our Patreon, patreon.com/majorspoilers, where at that point you can go, hey, there's a list of comic books here. As one of your awesome patrons, I'm going to look at this list of comic books. And I think next week it's going to say, wait, don't tell me.
Coming out next week from DC Comics, we have Action Comics number 1033. We have Batman Secret Files, The Huntress, issue number 1. We have Batman Reptilian number 2. Let's see, we also have Bizarro Comics. That's a trade collection of that. Also, it looks like Checkmate is back. Checkmate issue number 2. Who is Demon Rose? Detective Comics 1040, Harley Quinn, number 5. We also have Looney Tunes 261 and a Static Season 1 gets a $3.99 comic. And finally, Wonder Woman 776. Those are just some of the comics coming out from DC Comics next week. Over at Boom Studios, we have Berserker, number 4. We have Dune, Blood of the Sardaukar, number 1. Don't know how to spell that. Don't know how to pronounce it. Firefly number 31, Something is Killing the Children number 18. Dark Horse Comics next week has Witcher, Witch's Lament number 3. Wow, that came out really fast. We just did the first issue not too long ago. Also, Grendel, Devil's Odyssey number 8. Dynamite Entertainment next week has Betty Page and The Curse of the Banshee 1 and 2 arrive next week. Red Sonja Black, White, Red number 1 gets those very expensive limited edition virgin covers if you want to spend $50 on those. Sacred Six number 11 and Sonya Versal number 6 arrives. IDW Publishing has Star Trek Year 5 number 23, Star Wars Adventures number 7, and let's see what else. Oh, a Transformers Beast Wars number 6.
Beast Wars.
Image Comics has The Department of Truth number 11, something I think we're going to probably end up reviewing on the Major Spoilers podcast at some point in trade form. We also have Jules Verne Lighthouse number 4, the penultimate issue there. Scumbag number 9. Skybound X, number 4, and Spawn, 320. It's a world record-setting comic book, Matthew. Did you know that? It's got a Guinness World Record.
Is it?
I mean, Guinness said so. Marvel Comics next week.
Those people, they make beer.
Marvel Comics next week has, wow, get this, Amazing Fantasy number 1 arrives. It's a 5-issue miniseries, Amazing Fantasy. I wonder what that could be about.
Spider-Man?
Amazing Spider-Man number 71 comes out, so I don't know if it's Amazing Fantasy is covering about the Amazing Spider-Man. Weird. Black Cat number 8, Black Widow number 9, The Eternals number 6, Fantastic Four number 34. We also get Mighty Valkyries number 4, the penultimate issue there, Shang-Chi number 3, Star Wars number 15, and X-Factor number 10 gets a second printing. In all the rest category, we have Archie and Friends, Summer Vacation number 1. Oh, Matthew. The October solicitations for Archie Comics are out. Mm-hmm. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina coming back, picking up with issue number 9. October 13th is when that issue drops.
Is the whole squad back?
It is. Robert Aguirre Sacasa is back writing. He's also doing, so that series, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, is going to continue the series that he started, right? Long before it became a Netflix series. Then, I think it's on the same day, we get, I forget what the exact title is, but it's something like The Magical World of Sabrina's something something. But that is going to continue the Netflix series. So you're going to get two of them. One is definitely the Netflix series version of Sabrina, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And then the diehard fans get the actual continuation of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina comics. So I'm very excited about that coming up in October. But hey, we're talking about next week. Blue Flame number 3 arrives next week. Cave Woman Metal Age number 2. That's the final issue of that. Crossed plus 100 Mimic number 1. Number 1, 5, and 6. So there you go, Matthew.
Nope.
Your favorite hero of all time crosses over into the plus 100 universe. We also have Doctor Who Missy number 4, Dog Man, the graphic novel. This is volume 6, 1 through 6. So these are reprintings. Extraordinary number 2, Gung Ho Anger number 3. Let's see, we got Lookers, Ember number 2, Patriotica United number 1. No idea what that is, but Patriotica is spelled with a K.
Yeah, I think that's an Antarctic press book, and it may be related to one of those sea people, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, the sea people. Ah, yeah. Stitched number 19 arrives next week. Uber number 25 arrives next week. And Zombie Tramp Ongoing number 81. So again, take a moment. Head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Of course, we could use your financial support at this time. I know it's tough for everybody, but we could really use your financial support at this time. If you can kick in $5 a month, please do so. I'm making a direct pledge to you, dear listener. Please, if you can spare $5 per month for, I don't know, the next 6 months, please head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. We would really appreciate it. We know times are tough, and we're seeing this across the board, across many, many people's Patreons, other people who have, you know, tens of thousands of more subscribers than we do are also seeing a dip. So we know that this is COVID economy related. We know that this is summer related. We know that this is getting back into the workplace related. But if you can, please consider becoming just a $5 a month patron, just $5 a month. You get access to so many things over there at patreon.com/majorspoilers. We would certainly appreciate it. You can cast your vote in the dueling review for next week. And then when we come back next week, maybe you will get to hear Matthew say,
Jem is my name. No one else is the same.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.